Praise the Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you don't know me, I'm Pastor Jeff Michener. I pastor the Mayville Church and the Corey, Pennsylvania Church. Hallelujah. Along with my wife, Pastor Renee. She's sitting down here. Pretty girl up here in the front. Praise the Lord. We're just so honored to be here. We're raised up in this church. Pastor Tim, Pastor Katie Stallman, our pastors. And we're so thankful for the things that they put into us over the years. We're so thankful for the patience. Hallelujah. We're so thankful for the word. I'm so thankful for the word being preached uncompromised. Amen. You know, when I came into church, I was a bit squirrely. Hallelujah. I was a little bit off, a lot of bit off, amen. And Pastor Tim, he spent lots of time, amen, putting the right things in me. And it was the word that was preached, the pure word, amen, the uncompromised word that was preached that changed my life. It wasn't hands being laid on me. I'm not against that. Hallelujah. It's good stuff. You know, it wasn't a Holy Ghost service in the sense that we were running and dancing that did it. It wasn't those things that broke it free, but it was the word that was preached day in and day out, amen, over and over and over again. And Pastor took that time to put that into me, and I'm just so thankful for it. Glory to God. Everything that I have in my life today, I can connect to my pastor. And anybody, in case you didn't know, it's a good place to be connected to a pastor. You know, Jesus gave us the church. And then he gave us pastors as well, and he gave us that all for a reason, amen? And so we got to fight, we got to decide not to be offended about things, we got to decide not to be upset about things and just go with the flow, amen? Because God has good things for us in the local church, amen? Praise the Lord, glory to God. Well, I'm so excited to be here. You know, Pastor asked me, I don't know, about a week ago, he said it might be a possibility that he'd have me in. And so I had a message all prepared, and I was excited for it. And then yesterday morning as I woke up, it was really interesting. Monday morning, I woke up really early Monday morning, and it was kind of a real heavy, like I woke up at 4 in the morning, which isn't normal for me. And it was kind of a real heaviness on me, you know, and I didn't really know what it was all about, but it lasted throughout the day, and it just was uncomfortable, and I didn't like it. You know, but I did what the word says. I learned not to give up. Amen. And so over one thing, I'm not going to give up. And so I just pressed through the day. And you know, Tuesday morning, I woke up and I had such victory when I woke up. Praise the Lord. And this message, literally, as I woke up, it rolled out of me. Amen. I'm just so thankful for the Spirit of God. I'm so thankful for the things he does, because you know what? I feel really tall up here. For the first time in my life, this is so awesome. I feel kind of like Zacchaeus. You know what I mean? I'm like, I've come up to a new level. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But what was I talking? Oh, anyways. So the message came out of me, and I just knew that it was for this time, this season. Amen. For tonight. And I'm thankful that you're here. Praise the Lord. I'm happy to bring what the Lord has given me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called Stop It. Hallelujah. With a big exclamation mark after it. Amen. And we're going to talk about sin a little bit. The message is about sin, but it's not necessarily about sin the way that we necessarily might think about it, or a lot of times that we get to preach as pastors, or preach the uncompromised word. We get to preach about sin, and oh, it's so much fun to tell people how they're wrong and how they're doing, you know, and stuff like that. But glory to God, tonight's message is coming from a little bit different of an angle. And I'm just as surprised by it as you are, so praise the Lord. Let's see what he's got for us. But it's coming from the place of self-condemnation and in the effect that sin has on us that way, amen? And we're going to, I hope my goal is that we, by the end of this, we see that we need to get out of that, amen? We need to get to a place, because God can't use us if we're always looking down upon ourselves, amen? Praise the Lord. You know, the most basic understanding in Christianity is that if you've been saved from it, you might as well, you shouldn't go back to it, amen? A lot of, if you look around in the church world today, there's a lot of people sinning, there's a lot of sin, there's a lot of things that are accepted that shouldn't be accepted. As I have been pastoring now for 4 years and now in two different places, I see a common thread that comes out of a lot of other churches, and that's that people are just okay with things that aren't okay, amen? And you know, so that it's a basic understanding. Of course, we get that teaching in these churches, and that's one of the reasons I'm so thankful for these churches, because that really is the first step into getting blessed. Amen. But this message is to deal with people who love God and want to be right before Him. Amen. But sometimes they miss the mark. Sometimes, you know, you're trying really hard, and I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying that you're, you know, but your endeavor, your heart is that I just want to be right before God. And so if that's not you, if you're just a person that likes to sin, well, praise the Lord. Don't get up and leave on us, because if you do that, then we know who you are. Praise the Lord. And we don't want to point fingers. Amen. Don't cause us to stumble by judging. But, you know, just stick around, because there's something in it for everybody. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we want to be right before God, but we have to start seeing that there's, as a person, the past that I came out of, I came out of a place of a lot of self-worthlessness. Amen. I came out of a place where I never thought I'd measure up for anything. I never thought of myself as anything great. Actually, I never thought of myself as anything good. I never thought anything good would come out of me. Yes, I had dreams, hopes, aspirations, just like everybody else, but I never thought that I was going to ever do anything with that. And there was a lot of things in my life that wanted to push me down. You know, and really what it amounted to, and it took me years to learn this, but what it amounted to is that the devil recognized something in me that I didn't see in myself. And so he's tried to squash that at a very young age. But aren't you glad God's good? Amen. Praise the Lord. The fact that I stand before you, and I say this often to my church, is a sign and a wonder. And I can't stress that enough, and I couldn't say it enough to make you believe it. But if you knew me 20 years ago, you wouldn't be looking for signs. You'd say, there's your sign, hallelujah. And you'd be wondering about it, hallelujah. So glory to God. Why don't we turn first? We're going to turn to John 10:10. Amen. Feels like a stadium up here with the lights and everything. Glory to God. John 10:10. It's good, though. These harvest barns, they got to be big to fill them. We don't want small harvests, do we? Praise the Lord. And that's why we need to build harvest barns. Amen. Praise the Lord. John 10:10. Probably should all know this scripture, right? This is a good scripture, a good family church scripture. This is one of those scriptures that set me free, continues to set me free. Don't you know that I just saw new things in it this week as I got into it? Praise the Lord. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Of course, that was Jesus talking. You know, and this is a really important scripture. Oh, it's right here. Glory to God. Look how they do that. Man, they're all kinds of fancy here. Praise the Lord. I got to get me one of these. Hallelujah. They just put it right up there for you. I know you got to turn around. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe we could just put up a screen and have you all on there too. I'll just preach to the screen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But, I won't take that yet. But, this scripture, I a lot, as with most scriptures, I think a lot of times we get used to them when we just read over them. But there's something I want us to see in this that we miss. Of course, we see that it's the thief, and we always focus on this. The thief is the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, or steal, kill, and destroy, praise the Lord. But we forget that the other role, the other part of this verse is Jesus speaking about himself, saying that he's come to give us life. And give us life more abundantly. Abundant life is a good thing, amen? I don't know if you, we don't have to get too much into concordances or the Greek or any other language or any other understanding to understand abundant life probably means something good, amen? I've never, you never looked at somebody, we went to New York City and there's a lot of homeless people and stuff like that. We didn't look at them and think, hey, they're living an abundant life. You know what I mean? But you look at someone like Donald Trump and you think, well, praise the Lord, he's living an abundant life. You know, but that's, Jesus said that he's come that we could live an abundant life, so we could have it more abundantly. Amen. I love that, because when you come out of a place where there is an abundance, to have an abundant life means an awful lot. When you come out of a place of feeling worthless, abundance sounds pretty good. When you come out of a place of never having anything or never being able to make that mark, because it's not just stuff, you understand. Abundant life is so much more than that. But the reason I bring this up is because there's so many times that people fail. There's so many times that people get into mistakes or they just miss the mark. And they instantly think that it's God who's coming to just judge them. But Jesus came to give us abundant life. He didn't come to judge you. He didn't come to destroy. Now listen, there isn't such thing. We have a God who is a judge, and he's a just judge. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad that we, it's good to have a just judge. But, you know, Jesus didn't just come to wipe us out and judge us. He came to give us an abundant life. This is such an important thing, and I can't say it enough. When we mess up, a lot of times we turn instantly to the idea that we're worthless now. We can't. It doesn't matter where you've gotten. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I was a sinner, and I loved to sin. When I was sinning, I sinned bad, bad. I mean bad, bad. And I was a Christian, glory to God. I was born again. I got born again about the time I was 14. By the time I was 16, I really was going bad. By the time I was 18, I was just about gone, praise the Lord. And by the time I was in my 20s, nobody knew where I was. And, I was immersed in sin. I did things. I'm going to tell you right now, I did things that if you're a bad sinner, it would excite you. And I did things that if you're saved here today, it'd make you cringe. I wouldn't even tell you because you might not look at me. I might tell you. I don't know. Maybe I will. But you know, the thing is I did things that I was so ashamed of. I done things that just vile things and nasty things because that was my nature. That's where I was coming out. I didn't have revelation that Jesus came to give me abundant life. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. I would sin and then I'd wonder, when something bad happened, that must be my punishment. Have you ever done that? Have you ever messed up? Just maybe not even something big, but you messed up and you thought, and then something bad happens, that's automatically God punishing you. Why do our minds always go to God as a punishment? God isn't trying to punish. He didn't send us Jesus to just punish us and to hurt us and to put us down. He sent him to give us life. Amen? Actually, to think that way, I started realizing this, to think of God as just the punisher is actually superstitious. To think that every time I do something, you know, every time I would have a bad thought, and then I'd think, oh my God, what's coming? What's going to come? I would do something wrong. I'd screw up or I'd sin, and I'd be like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Yeah, I'm talking about after I'm saved. I'm talking about when I started serving God, amen? I'm like, yeah, you know, there's consequences of sin, and we're going to talk about that too, you know. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. But, there's this thought process that happens in people that are trying to do right, and it's actually something from the devil, because what it does is it pushes you down. It gets you into that place where you become ineffective, because the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. That goes for women too, as they think, so are they. Amen? Praise the Lord. There is a thing called judgment, but God's judgment is not hanging over our heads like I'm going to whoop you hammer. God isn't just trying to destroy our lives, and we have to get to the place where we understand that. We have to get to the place where we not just understand that, but we believe that. Actually, we have to get to a place where we live in that, and we let that build us back up. Amen? Praise the Lord. And again, this message is not, what I'm preaching about is not to somebody who's out in the world living in sin. If you're out in the world like I was, living in sin, and that's what I want to separate, I'm not saying that there isn't punishment coming. Yeah, you are going to earn things by your sin that you might not want to pay, or you might not want to collect on. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about people who are now in the church, people who are trying to do right by God, people who are trying to live right, and they just can't seem to, or they just seem to mess up once in a while. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Romans 6:23, I want to share this with you because this is important to the context of what I'm saying here. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. See, somebody asked me this question once, somebody in my church, because they had a significant other who doesn't believe, and they wanted to know something about God. And they said, how could an all-loving God send people to hell? If God loves us so much, how could he send anyone to hell? I would never send my children, no matter how bad they were. And you know, I'm so thankful again for the Holy Ghost, because it rose up in me as I was trying to answer. It was through text. And it rose up on the inside of me, and all of a sudden I just texted right, amen? God doesn't send anybody to hell. God isn't putting people in hell. People put themselves in hell. And that's the thing that we have to understand. The wages of sin is death. A wage is something that you earned. It's something that you labored for. Amen? You don't get a wage unless you labor for it. So the wages of sin, if you're going to receive the wages of sin, you must have labored for it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who's your employer? You know what I'm saying? Who's your employer? Who are you employing in your life? Are you employing the devil or are you employing God? Are you employing demons or are you employing angels? The wages of sin is death. People bring it on themselves. Amen? Praise the Lord. But on the other side of that,
Have you ever, we all, I think most of us have worked at some point in our life. And if you didn't, you should try it. It's good, great fun. Hallelujah. But have you ever messed up at your job? I just mean like, you know, not like life-altering mess up, but maybe you were putting trinkets together and you flipped one trinket on top of the other and put them on the backwards and somebody came up to you and said, hey, that's not right. Have you ever messed up doing something? Amen? So everybody's messed up doing something. Generally speaking, you don't lose your job over a mess up. One mess up. Amen? A mess up here or there, generally speaking, people aren't going to fire you, especially if you're a faithful person. We have to understand that's the same thing with God, and that's the same thing with wages. If you mess up once in a while, your wages, you're not gonna haul in this harvest of just garbage. You know what I mean? You're not gonna haul in a harvest of all this condemnation. That's always from the devil, and we have to understand that. So if our heart is right, if we're seeking after God, then we understand that God is trying to bless us. He is not trying to remove from us. I don't know about you. Maybe, I mean, from some of the looks on your faces, maybe you've never had that where you missed it. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. I miss it pretty much on a daily basis. Pretty much on a daily basis. Well, my wife and I had a marriage counseling appointment. This was really funny. We had a marriage counseling appointment, and it went fairly well, and we talked about how to be a good spouse and all this stuff, you know. And then we went home after the marriage counseling appointment, and we're there, and I said something, and I didn't realize what I was saying, amen? And so my wife goes in the other room, and she's gone for a while, and I was thinking she's doing what she usually does when she goes in the other room, something. Right, my wife, she likes to do stuff, you know. Something's out of order, we got to put it back in order. If something's messy, you got to clean it up, you know. So I just figured she was doing that, and I'm just sitting there, da da da, on my phone, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, where's my wife? So I did what any good husband would do, laying on the couch, playing on this phone, is I called her. And so I called her, and I said, love, where are you? And she's like, I came in the room. That's what you told me to do. And I'm like, well, I was joking about that. And then the conversation went on for a minute. And then I realized, wait a minute, something don't sound right in her voice. So then I did what a really good husband would do. I FaceTimed her. And I FaceTime her, and I see her in the dark, and I see just a little bit of light glistening off the tears on her face. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? I'm like, she was upset because of something I did. You know, I made a mistake. But see, I didn't intend to do it. It was just like and I told her, I said, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do anything. Of course, we made up real quick and everything was fine afterwards. But I use that to illustrate kind of the same thing. Sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we don't even inadvertently mess up. Sometimes we purposely mess up. But God isn't looking just to bring the whole, as Justin would say, the Thor hammer down on somebody. He isn't trying to destroy somebody, amen? He wants to build us back up. He wants us to get to that place where we know that we don't have to mess up, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't even plan on using that, but praise God, hallelujah. So you got to use things from your own life. You want to hear about another superstition? I'm sure you do, right? Praise God. How about I went to church, so I did something good today. Or I did my godly duty because I showed up at church. This is another one of those superstitions that people get. They're like, I see people all the time, like, praise the Lord, I made it to church today. They'll come in, they'll be, you know, they're coming in. They haven't been there in 3 weeks. And they're like, you don't realize church is for you. Your pastor is there for you. Like you didn't, okay, yeah, we're to bring our supply and stuff like that. Praise God. God created church and gave us pastors so that we were able to walk out a blessed plan. Yet another part of that, John 10:10, amen? This is part of God's plan to bless us. And yet we think, you know, people think all the time. They get superstitious about going to church. Well, I got to show up so many times a year. You talk to the world. I was talking to a worldly guy the other day. He was a contractor doing some work for me. And he said to me, he's like, you know, and I knew that he wasn't going to church and that he wasn't a church goer. And he wasn't trying to hide that either. But he did want to get in a lot of things. A lot of people like this always like to, like people who have been raised in a religion then walked away. You know, they always like to throw in that. But I believe. So what? I believe too, amen? The devil believes. I guess it just doesn't, you know, but a lot of people think that way. We have to understand that, it's important. We have to understand that God has given us these things to bless us. I've often said, actually, I was recently talking to Pastor Tim, and I said, you know, it's so funny the job that God gave us, because he gives us the most mysterious, like we have to stand up in front of people, and we'll do things like we'll preach about tithing, something that a lot of people, offends most people, at least at first. You know, but our job is to convince people that it's a good thing to do, because it will bless their lives. But the whole time they're thinking we're trying to pilfer money out of their hands. But this is the way it is with all the blessings of God, because faith always requires us to step out first. Faith never, it's never, if you're waiting for God to show up, praise the Lord. Sometimes you're going to be waiting for a long time, because faith requires you to step first. Well, glory to God. I don't know how I got on that, but it's free. Praise the Lord. So God created church to keep us blessed. We want to stay out of superstition. And part of being superstitious is believing that God is just waiting. It's kind of like the lucky rabbit's foot mentality. But that's the same reason that most Christians also, they go to prayer and they don't believe God is actually going to answer them. Or they think, well, have I done enough good things that God will actually answer me today? Listen, I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. I could probably take a secret poll and find out that there's a lot of believers, a lot of people who are serving. I know, because I'm a pastor and this kind of stuff comes to me, trying to tell me that you messed up, so you're going to go out there and you're going to fail miserably. You're going to stand up in front of people and it's all going to come crashing down around you. Some of the best sermons I preached came out of me after I'd done some of the worst things. Now, this is a good sermon. I didn't do anything bad today. I'm just telling you. But the truth is that does happen sometimes. You know why? Because God doesn't, he's not measuring my life by the amount of good works that I can do. Amen. The good works are to bless us, to bless other people. It's to get us to connect with God and to be able to receive. But it's the bad works that remove from us. Amen. It's not God. I said it's not God. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. I love the Word. You know, one of the most amazing things is I was about as messed up as a football bat. I mean, I'm telling you, when I came into church, there was just so many things that were wrong in my thinking, in my head. And not necessarily because I was just a bad person, just because I had taken a lot of what the world said to heart and just allowed it. You know, when I was in churches, they weren't good churches. I'm not talking bad. Like, when I say bad church, I'm not talking about, like, oh, the people were terrible and you know, they're all make-believe Christians are going to hell. No, because most of them didn't know either. You know, it was just, but they weren't taught the Word, so they didn't teach the Word. You know, and we have to get out of this understanding. We're not making fun of other churches. We're not trying to come down on other churches. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Family Church is the best churches in the area. You ain't gonna find a better church, and it isn't because we're all such wonderful, well put together people. I'm talking about the pastors or even the people that go there. It's because of the Word that's being preached. Amen. Praise the Lord. What did I say? 2 Peter 3:9, right? Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us. Long-suffering, that's a word, you know, love will get you that. Praise the Lord. Long-suffering is one of those real fun words that we love. It's kind of like it's right up there with patience, you know what I mean? One of those words that we just love, long-suffering, you know, you flip it around, it says suffering long. And it really means the same thing. I mean, really, that's what it means. You're going to suffer with people, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I think about Moses sometimes when he's like, these people that you gave me, he's like, either do something or take me out of here, one of the two. Sometimes it feels like that. I'm just going to tell you, sometimes as a Christian, you're going to look around. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to meet a lot of Christians that aren't very Christian-y. Hallelujah. Is that what I want to say? Close enough. Praise the Lord. You know, because there's a lot of people that, do you know they think we're cults? We actually have these cards that we're going to be giving out in Corey. And one of the, we answer some questions, three questions on the back. Well, we mostly answer two of the questions, but the other question we leave open-ended to draw people in, you know what I mean? But we're going to hand them out during the parade. And the second question is, are you a cult? No, we're not a cult. We have church on Saturday nights because we're somewhere else on Sunday. That's the other question we answered. Praise the Lord. But see, people get superstitious. They're like, well, if there isn't a cross on the wall, if the church doesn't meet on Sundays, if it, you know, for some, praise the Lord, hallelujah. So, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? There we are. Yeah, that all should come to repentance. That's what God, see, you know what repentance means, to change, right? And we're going to see this, like, along with salvation, is not just about the end of time. Like, when you die and it's time to go to heaven, that's not all this. Yes, that's included in here, and that's usually where we focus on this. But repentance is something that we are told scripturally that we are to do when we find ourselves in sin, right? We're to repent. What does that mean? It means, basically, you're remorseful about it, and you change your ways. Or you do your best to change ways. Sometimes there's things that we struggle in that we will walk in and out of a bunch of times before we finally get it right. But keeping a repentant heart where you really want that to change and being before the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord. But he's not willing that any should perish. This applies again here to earth. God is not willing that we should perish on earth. Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. He wants us to live an abundant life. I mean, this, if we really believe that, so many things in our attitudes, so many things in what we do would change. The way we look at church would change. The way we look at other Christians would change. The way we look at each other, the way we look at ourselves would all change if we realize that God really wants an abundant life for us. And again, I love Pastor Tim's teaching on prosperity and how balanced it is, that it's not just about the stuff that you get, but it's about, just living a prosperous life in all areas. My wife and I have started entering into that more and more so. I say started to because it's a process. And I know that abundance isn't all of what we got right now. It's more of what we got. Praise the Lord. When we have grandkids at some point, that's more abundance. Amen. I want all that. I want bigger family. I want bigger churches. I want more churches. Hey, give me 50 churches. Glory to God. I don't care. Amen. We want what God wants is what I'm after. Amen. And that's why we're not afraid of big churches as well. But you know what I want more than a big church is I want a faithful church. And I'm not saying I don't have that, but I want a more faithful church. I want to be a more faithful pastor. I want to be a more faithful husband. I want to do better all the time. And that's the heart after God. And if that's what we're striving for, I have counseled so many people, and some of the ministers, I have counseled so many people with this same thing, that if your heart is after God and you're seeking him and you're not blatantly in sin, something that you know that you shouldn't be doing, or you know what I'm saying? If those are the case, you can trust your leading. And you can trust that God is working in you. And when you look at who God used in the Bible, if it was a matter of being perfect, dear Jesus, nobody would have ever gotten used. This is why I love our Lord so much. This is one of the reasons I love our Lord so much. It's because he could take a loser like I was and make me somebody that I never could be on my own. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed of who I am now. I love who I am now. I enjoy life now. Sometimes when you go to minister or whatever, there can be an attack on you. But when you have an understanding of how God looks at you, none of that stuff really matters a whole lot. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he's long-suffering towards us. He's going to work through our inconsistencies. He's going to work through our trip-ups. He's going to work through all that if we allow him to. Amen? And I'm getting to a point I want to get to here in a minute. But turn with me to Luke 19. Praise the Lord. I'm going to actually, and I've read these scriptures before, but I've never ministered on these ones I'm about to minister on here in Luke. I actually really am excited about this. Praise the Lord. Luke 19:1. We'll read through verse 10. It said, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." That just flipped on there, and I thought maybe it was an angel moving or something, but it was just a screen. "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, or see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature." I love this because we can look at it like this. He didn't measure up. Zacchaeus just didn't measure up, amen? He was kind of in the back. He was where he couldn't really get into the mix. You know what? I love it when my wife and I came into this church, we didn't measure up at all. We were in the back of the mix. We didn't have any connections really with anybody. I mean, there was somebody who invited us, but we weren't really connected to them. And so it wasn't like we became friends with them or anything like that. And there was a lot of, you know, whenever you go into a new place, there's a lot of that, especially if you don't know anyone, there's a lot of that feeling like you're separate, you're different. And it was like that for a long time. We felt that way for a long time. And, you know, even as we went through and we were doing the things that we knew to do that were right, you know, there was a lot of times where people didn't look at you like you were anything special. Not that we're trying to obtain anything special, but you all know how it is. You know, it's nice to be recognized for something, isn't it? When you do something awesome, it's nice to have people. But on the other side, it's also nice not to have people just look down on you. You know, and I'm not saying everybody in church looked down on me, you know, or anything like that. But I'm just saying that people never thought, like, they never equated me, especially with being any kind of pastor or minister. It wasn't something that was in people's ideas or minds, you know what I mean? And we didn't necessarily just jump right on board. It took us a while to. You know, it actually blesses me because a lot of times as I see people slow moving to get hooked up to the church, I remember it took me 5 years before I even came to a midweek service. Now, I'm not suggesting do that because that was 5 years that it pushed me back. You know, we could have been somewhere faster. Now try to keep us out of church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just the way it is. People act like it's a chore to come to church and serve. Praise the Lord. That's all the blessing in our life came because we came and served. And sometimes it was long hours. Sometimes it's lots of hours. You know, and it wouldn't have to be long and lots of hours if everybody would do it. Amen. But you know, that's the truth. We, you know, sometimes we would put in those long days, long hours, and just didn't. And there was opposition because every once in a while you have somebody come up to you and they know better than you. Amen. And you know, there's opportunity to get offended. You know, praise the Lord. But we gotta be right. Well, anyways, I want to get back to this. Praise the Lord. But he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass by that way. You see, here you see a man who's a little bit after it. You're somebody who's running to do something. Amen? I remember when there was things that were on my heart, and when the Lord would put something on my heart, one thing that I have done somewhat right, if I've done anything right, is that as the Lord's put something on my heart, I'm usually too dumb to wait and think about it. I just run after it. You know what I mean? So I just kind of go after it, and I jump into it, find myself into something. That's kind of sometimes how, you know, that's how I got into pastoring. That's how I got into some. Fortunately, we had people that were slowing me down. You know what I mean? But sometimes you can just jump into something, and then, whoa, praise the Lord. But that's actually, sometimes that's a really good thing. And I'm not talking about being ambitious, like I'm trying to make something of myself. But when you know something's right, get after it. You know, that's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. Oh my gosh, does that preach? He made haste. He knew what to do. He got direction, amen? And now he's after it. He did it immediately, amen? Praise the Lord. Where was I? 6. Yeah. And received him joyfully. Praise the Lord. He received the teacher joyfully. He received what was going to be given to him joyfully. Do you know what it would mean if people come into the house of the Lord, like literally joyfully? If people just, if you got like, instead of getting out of bed and being like, oh, I got it, there's another service. You know what I mean? No, you go in joyfully because you're going to get something. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. There we are. But verse 7, but when he saw it, there's a lot more words on this page than there are on that one. You know what I mean? Well, but when they saw it, they all complained saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Can you believe that? Jesus. Going to the sinner's house. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. So we see here that Jesus, you know, he's trying to, Jesus' goal was to help people. His goal today is still to help people. His goal in us is to help us get to where we want to go. You know, the Bible says that he gives us the desires of our heart. He wants you to be desiring good things, and he wants you to obtain those things. It's so funny how people look at God so often. They just look at God as the punisher, the one who is trying to remove from them, no matter what you tell them. They still are after that. They don't realize that God is, his goal always was and always is to help get us where he wants us to be. Praise the Lord. I had a similar experience. When I first started serving in the church and I was getting faithful, you know, and I was working at a full-time job and I was doing lawn stuff and was serving anywhere I could. I may have even started ushering by then, you know, but I still made mistakes. I still did things that weren't real Christian-like, amen? If some people had known some of the things I was still doing a little bit once in a while, I might not have been able to do some of the things. But, you know, it was getting worked out of me. So, at any rate, I was keeping secrets and I was doing, but I was trying to be right. You know, when you come out of the world, it's not always just instantly be right. Sometimes it takes a little while to put some things down. But the Lord will work in you. And the reason sometimes I think that it takes time to work out of us is because God wants it to be real. He's not a quick fix God. You know, so many people that come to God to try to get that quick fix. They're like, oh, I've screwed up, and now I'm in this mess, and I just want God to get me out. I'm going to tell you right now, it very rarely happens. I've very rarely seen it happen. And it isn't because people don't have enough faith. It isn't because the pastor doesn't have enough faith. It's because that's not the way God does things. God wants to build things over in us so that when we have it, we finally have it. So when it's in you, nobody else can take it. So when it's there, then when the devil comes knocking, you don't hand it right back over to him. See, God wants you to be built up on the inside, and he'll do that through a process of time. You know, there's point A and point B, or point A and point Z, and it's great if we can go to point A and point Z, but 99.99%, a whole bunch, almost probably the entirety of all humanity will not go from point A to point Z. God needs to bring you to point B and then C, and it'll go back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes you'll be like over here, and you're like, why am I over here? And you thought that this was your future, and you come to find out, you know what? That ain't your future. That was just to show you something you need for your future. But you'd be okay with it. See, that's why the Bible says that he leads us. Amen. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. You know, a guide takes you and he guides you. He leads you through things so you get to see things. Amen. You know, how fun would be a tour guide if you went to a state, you know, up in Buffalo, they have these Frank Lloyd Wright houses. If you don't know who he is, well, don't worry about it. He's just really cool house, good architect. I was always a big fan. And some of his most famous houses are in Buffalo. And you pay like big money. You pay like, my mom and I went and visited one, and we paid like, I think we paid like 40, 50 bucks a ticket just to go to them. So it's not cheap. But how much would it be, how terrible would it be? You paid your money and you go in and the guy says, okay, he takes you in the front door and immediately you're coming out the back door and say, that was our goal. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be very enjoyable, would it? But a guide wants you to see things. They want to teach you things. They want you to see things when you're going through the process. And the same thing is with God. And so sometimes we're like, oh, I just want this to end now. But when the Lord will take us through it, and on the other side, we have something solid. We have faith that can't be shaken. And on that other side, that's when we can stand when the real trials come. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that you faced a real trial so far, you ain't got there yet. Because it's going to keep coming, and it's going to keep coming. Jesus said it. I'm not speaking lack of faith. Jesus said it. He said that it's going to happen. In the world, you will have tribulation, right? John 16:33. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome it. He's going to take you through it. He's going to take you by it. I love the 23rd Psalm. We all love the 23rd Psalm. We'll cross-stitch it on doilies, on pillows. We'll put it on the wall. We'll get it from grandma. We'll give it to grandma. Hallelujah. Do whatever you want. Put it on a plate. Eat dinner on it. Whatever you want to do. But we all know that scripture. But as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, amen? See, we have to understand. Oh, glory, I'm on something good. We have to understand that as we traverse through life, as we go out into life and we face all these things, listen, trial was going to be there anyways. Temptation was going to be there anyways. Defeat was going to be knocking at your door anyways. It was going to come anyways. God gave us the victory. We have to stop getting so tripped up when we fall into various trials and temptations. We got to stop getting so messed up when we, no, this happened. Pastor, what do I do? What you do is do just what he said to do. You stay in faith, you preach the word, and you just press on into the things that God has for you, because it isn't over yet. This is the thing that I've found, as many trials as my wife and I have faced, and we faced some big trials, hallelujah. We faced some enormous trials, things that we didn't ever know how we were going to get through. We faced some, but one thing I can tell you is we have never lost. We've never lost. It looked like we were gonna. I'm going to tell you, there was times when the government's knocking on your door and saying, hey, this, this, and this. And there's times when there's false accusations and people are saying this, this, and this, and pointing at you. And people are saying there's no way ever, and you're worthless, and all this other stuff. But as long as you keep pressing through, as long as you, see, it's when we listen to the things. I was trying to say this last night in my message that I was preaching in my church. But if we keep believing the devil, the whole point of what these trials and temptations are for is to distract us from God, from following that path that he's given us, that path to blessedness. Listen, the path to blessedness does not mean that every step of the way there's going to be roses and lilies and flowers, and it's going to be fragrant and little fairies handing you chocolate on plates. It just ain't going to happen that way. Sometimes it's going to take work. Sometimes it isn't going to feel good on the flesh. So what? There's lots of things that don't feel good on the flesh. Dear Jesus, they got me going to the gym this year. That doesn't feel good on the flesh. Not at all. I complain the whole time I'm there. I complain going, and I complain while I'm there. But I'm telling you, afterwards, I feel pretty good. After I've been through it, I'm like, well, this did something. And I don't feel like a complete loser anymore because I'm doing something about it. You see, sometimes we just got to do something about it. Amen? No, praise the Lord. So anyways, I was telling you a story. So I'm driving down the street. I remember exactly where I was. I'm driving down the street, and I'm into self-condemnation. Devil's pouring it on me, and I'm accepting it. Praise the Lord. I'm like a baby bird, my mouth wide open. Chirp, 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 sucking it all in. Everything that he's saying, you're worthless. You keep screwing up. How are you ever going to help anybody? I wanted to be a good Christian. Is there anyone else who wanted to be a good Christian? Is there anyone else that wanted to help somebody? Well, how does it feel when you're trying to help somebody, and then you do something that's like really jacked up? You know what I'm saying? But that's the way I was. I'm like, I lose my witness. I remember one day, you know, I'm at work, and I'm reading my Bible. I'm reading my sermon notes that pastor preached the day before. I'm sitting at break, and I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm doing really good, you know, and everybody sees me, and they pick at me, and I just blow it off, and I'm being the good Christian, you know. And then one day I come in, and everything just falls apart, and that guy, you know, that one guy, he came up to me that day, at that time, and I said something to him, and it wasn't very Christ-like. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I left work. The next day when I got back, guess who met me at the time clock? That guy. Praise the Lord. He wanted to pour it on. Oh, look at Christian boy. Oh, he just dropped that word. He just, yeah, it was the word. That was the word. I was a Christian going to this church, and I used that word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't make me tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just kidding. Well, I said that word, and he said, and I just looked at him, and I said, I'm not letting you have it. I'm just not going to let you have it. I messed up. I repented before God. I said these exact things to him, and I'm moving on. But yeah, anyway, at any rate, see, I talked my iPad right off. Praise the Lord. So at any rate, I was driving down the street, self-condemnation, full of it, and all of a sudden, I hear the voice of the Lord speak to me. One of the few times in my life where I actually heard the voice of the Lord, knew it was God. And he said to me, he's like, you got to get over yourself. He said, because if you keep condemning yourself, I cannot use you. These are the words he said to me. That has stayed with me ever since. And I realized something, and it's taken me years to get to more understanding of it, enough to preach about it. I was condemning myself every step of the way. God didn't pick, for God's sakes, he picked fishermen. You know what I'm saying? He took some fishermen. Have you ever been around fishermen? I'm pretty sure 2,000 years ago, they probably weren't more refined than they are today. Hallelujah. You ever watch like Deadliest Catch or something like that? Half the show is beeped out. You know what I'm saying? That's the way it was. These guys weren't the salt of the earth. They weren't the clean, the ones that, you know, the ones that were made out of spare angel parts. They weren't the ones that everybody was looking to. He picks the worst of the worst to use them and make them the best of the best. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you come to a family church, one of our claims of fame is that the pastors of family church have come from some interesting places. They've done some interesting things. The ministers that are here, Pastor Michael's just like, well, this bunch that you gave me, hallelujah. But you know something? He's using us. He's using us to do the work of God because we're willing and because we're pressing into the things. Isn't because we're so great, we haven't done anything wonderful in of ourselves, but God working through us, amen? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. God didn't pick you because of your perfection. He didn't choose you because you were so awesome. Dear Jesus, we know that about me. God didn't look down into what I'm doing and think, that's one I got to use. From that standpoint, you know what I mean? He wasn't looking at me. You know, he wasn't looking at me hugging one of those toilets in an apartment. Did I tell you? I've been hugging toilets in places that I wouldn't even go into and use now. I wouldn't even use now. And I've been wrapped around it. Best friend. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about people that, you know, they don't care whether they hit the inside or the outside. Oh, yeah, I'm right up. I don't think, you know, God saw me at that moment. But you know something? He didn't look down at me and say, he said, I'm going to use that guy. Praise the Lord. I'm nothing special. He's all of us, amen? Anybody who's willing, step up to the plate. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6, 2. Glory to God. God is good. See, this message's purpose is to stir you into some things and to bring you up to a different level, bring you into something that God has for you. Praise the Lord. And after we're done, I'm going to prophesy, I'm going to lay hands on everybody, and I'm going to give you what your future is. Because I've been downloading it, and I noticed that and there ain't nobody here going to stop me. Hallelujah. Because I can run fast. I've been going to the gym. Oh, don't you try to catch up to me. Hallelujah. I've been bench pressing, and my bench pressing has been going up. I learned that this week. I went to got the personal trainer, and she said, put this in. I said, no, I did this last week. She said, no, this is what you're doing now. I'm like, wait a minute, I did that. That's what I want to do. Hallelujah. So I'm getting tough, I'm telling you. That's all joke, praise the Lord. My wife is getting nervous. No, she isn't. She knows me. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, 2. What's it say? For he says, everybody says he says. Yes. Does anybody know who he is? Yeah, it was Jesus, right? Love that Jesus. Love what he says. He says some good stuff, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. He said he wants to give me an abundant life. He says that he's deprived the world of its power to harm me. Glory to God. He said that I can because he did. Glory to God. For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're like, what does all this mean? Today is the day. Now is the time. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So many people have put salvation out there. See, as a Christian, this is a mistake that we often make. We put salvation out there. When we read salvation in the Bible, we put it out there. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. I know that it's talking about that anybody can get saved today, but you know something? You haven't expired yet. This word still applies to you, right? Today's the day of salvation. That word salvation is an interesting word. By the Holy Ghost, at one point, I looked that up and it really set me free when I read it. Salvation literally means deliverance, preservation. Let me ask you something. Do you need to be delivered once you're in heaven? Do you need preservation once you're in heaven? It means safety. Deliverance from the molestation of enemies. How many enemies are you going to have in heaven? Praise the Lord. Salvation as the current possession of all true Christians, just in case you didn't believe me. That's what it means. Hallelujah. So, and of course, salvation in the future as well. But it means all this other stuff and salvation in the future. It means deliverance, preservation, safety. Today, deliverance today. What have you gotten into? See, and this is the thing. Today is the day of salvation. When you screw up, today is the day of salvation. Your Savior is still waiting there to help you. Your Savior is still waiting there to set you free. Today you got wrapped up in the trial. That's okay, because today's the day of salvation. Sometimes you don't think you can anymore. It's okay. Today's the day of safety. Today is the day I'm getting preserved. You don't feel like you can just do it anymore. Well, that's okay, because today is the day of salvation. See, we have to understand this. Praise the Lord. We have to get what the scripture is really saying to us today. Today is the day that we can do everything that God has us to do. There is nothing that we are going to walk into unless we walk into it by faith, doing the things, doing it the way that God has told us to do it. And we cannot do that if we don't believe what the word says. And so if you stay wrapped up in your mind about the area where you missed it, if you just let the devil kick you down, if you let the devil place that condemnation on you and you take it into yourself, you will never fulfill the plan of God. He cannot use you. God wants to use us. He wants to use every single one of us. But he can't use us if we're going to be dumb. He ain't going to use us if we think stupid. Today is the day of salvation. People who believe that salvation is only for the future will never have victory in their lives today. You want victory? The first thing you got to do is believe God and who he is. And he's the Savior today. He saved you today. Amen. You got to get over yourself. Praise the Lord. You got to get over the trial. You got to get over what's coming at you. It doesn't matter. We always look at everything else except for Jesus. We look at what other Christians are doing. We look at what they don't have. Praise the Lord. Yeah, there's Christians that the Bible tells us that he gives us long life, right? There's Christians that don't make it to long life. And then we automatically go to, well, the word must not work. Or that must not be true. It's foolishness. That's not what, we don't base our faith over what some other yahoo is doing. Listen, and when I mean yahoo, what I'm talking about is somebody else. That's just my nice way of saying somebody else. God has, he has a plan for us. And there are things, yes, there are things that can hinder that plan. And if we allow enough of that to come in, it can hinder the plan. I'm not saying it can't. And that's something that we can't forget. But we got to stop dwelling on that and move on into what God has for us. We either believe the word or we don't. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus said, sufficient for today is its own trouble. We're thinking about tomorrow. We're thinking about 10 years from now. We're thinking about how we're going to... Listen, I'm going to tell you what right now. If Jesus himself had stood before me 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, it stood... Yeah, 6 years ago, for God's sakes. About 6-7 years ago. If he had stood before me and said, I'm going to use you to pastor 2 churches and then showed me what it was going to be entailed in that, I'd been like, oh, no, you don't. There's no way. How can I go from there to here? See, I couldn't see the path, but the guy knows it. He knew it. Amen? Again, this is why it's important to be connected right. Because it's only when you're connected right that you're going to find this stuff. I had other Christians tell me, you're right, you will never do that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You need salvation every day. Christians often go without because whatever promise they are believing for in their mind is always somewhere else. If salvation is today, then everything God promised us is today. Listen, it doesn't mean that you're going to see the manifestation of it. But if the manifestation is all you can dwell on, you will never receive it. You can't ever receive it by faith. Receiving it is saying, like, it's mine now. And I know that we hit these points over and over again, but I got to do it myself over and over again. I have to remind myself that, he already promised me this. If he promised me it, then I have to have it because it has to be so, or he's lying. And if he's lying, what am I doing? What are we doing? Praise the Lord. I certainly am not in this gig because it's making me rich. Do you understand? My salary hasn't all of a sudden become something that is so, I make less than I did 10 years ago. I don't say that in any kind of feel bad for me, because I also believe in God's salvation. And you know what's included in that is his promises. And you know what else is included in that? Way more than I had 10 years ago. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not about the job or the money. It's about your faithfulness compared to what God wants to do for you. And when you believe that, you can start receiving that and you can start getting into those things. But God is going to take you on a journey. Don't think you're going to get there without a journey. I spent a lot of years screwing things up. It took me a few years to get out of it. God took me out. Praise the Lord. I got to get going, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Your prosperity, your healing, your freedom are all found in salvation. Every one of those is found in what Jesus did. Salvation was on that. Today was the day. Today's the day. You didn't take it yesterday, that's fine. Take it today. You didn't get into it yesterday, that's fine. Just take it today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a scripture that we need to be well acquainted with. Romans 8:1. Don't turn there, just look at it up here. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Who, there's a big, that's a Bible but, as I like to say, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If we only do the things of the flesh, we're only going to see the things the flesh gives us. This is why one of the first things that church does to you, a good Bible teaching church, is it starts making you do a lot of things to put the flesh down. I remember back in the day, the only time we ever had money was at tax return time. Any other parents can say amen, because I know that there's other people there. It's the only time. And I remember the time when the Lord started leading me to use that tax return. Well, we get excited, tax return time coming. Now, we were like, have you been a poor family? You know what that's like. And so tax return time coming in, and we get excited about it. Then the Lord starts directing me, use it elsewhere. What do you mean, use it elsewhere? This is the only time I got money. See, that was the mindset I had. I was relying on that as my supply. It took me years to finally get it. Now we can use part of our tax return if we get one because I got smart enough and I stopped relying on something else other than my God to supply for me. But see, as long as you have that hang up, that's going to be the thing that's drilled. That's the toothache, amen. And it's not going to get better until it gets removed, amen. Spiritual root canals, hallelujah. To walk in the Greek literally means to make one's way or regulate their life. It doesn't mean to make mistakes. It doesn't mean to happen into stuff once in a while and screw up and then so you're just gonna lose everything. But if you make your way, if your way of life is not spiritual, if it's just according to the flesh, then this doesn't apply to you. But if it doesn't, if that's not the case, and I believe that's the case here with all of you, I'll just say all of you except for three. I don't know. I didn't look at anyone in particular. So even if you thought I was looking at you, I wasn't. Praise the Lord. God wants us to be blessed, and condemnation is not of God. Therefore, if those condemning thoughts come, it's not of God. It's of the devil. Oh, I feel so condemned. God must be. Now, God ain't nothing. That's from the devil, and you're accepting it as God. Oh, praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 John 1:9. We're making our way through. I think we're even gonna get there. 1 John 1:9. What does it say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, right? Isn't that what it says? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. He's faithful to do it. He will bring us through. He'll bring us to that other side. But we have to be willing to go with Him. Amen? We can't do it if we're condemning ourselves. We can't do it if we're keeping ourselves back. See, most of the time, the problems that we face, and I've learned this as a pastor, please believe me, if you don't, well, praise the Lord for you. But most of the time, the problems that Christians walk into, they don't even need the devil's help. They just go into it. We are living in a society that has gotten so warped in their thinking, in the mindset that's just in society, that the devil doesn't even have to do anything anymore. Like I think it was Reverend Greer saying, he's down at the beach and people are just sinning bad. They're just doing things because they just walk away from the word. They leave it behind. You can go to people. We have taken the word to people who are religious minded. We show them in the word. My wife's preaching a message this week in Corey. It's called about the woman question. We have to preach it because people still believe that women can't be ministers. They take a few scriptures out of context and make it say what they want to say. You can present the word to certain people, and we have, and they still reject it. Why? Because they're thinking with the flesh. They want to think what they want to think. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. But He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Now, skip on down to verse to chapter 2 and verse 1. This is a couple scriptures away. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, wait a minute. He said that you may not sin. He's writing this to tell us to not sin. So that's a good thing, right? It's good to not sin. Does anyone disagree with that? It's good to not sin. And if anyone sins, boy, he must not have very much faith there. Or he must have understood the nature of humans. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate. We have somebody who's going to, praise God, hallelujah. I don't think I have time to go there, but praise God. But we have an advocate who's waiting. How many times can he tell us that he wants to give us abundant life? He wants to bless us. He wants to take us through. He wants to be our advocate. And how many times do we have to hear that before we're actually going to believe it and stop going back to, you know, this must be my punishment for doing, because I messed up. I'm just telling you, people live in this. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 37. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 7. I've been in these scriptures so much lately. They've been coming out in everything. You know, and I, these ones I'm about to read to you. And the thing is about these scriptures that's so amazing to me is that I realized that everything I was believing God for, everything that I was trying to, you know, whether it was my church, whether it was my home life, whether it was my physical life, whether whatever, somebody else's life, it all comes down to this right here. This covers everything. I mean, he gave us scriptures. He gave us a whole book of scriptures, but this really covers everything. Trust in the Lord and do good. We could spend days right there. Trust in the Lord and do good. You trust God that he's going to get you through, that he's going to do. He's going to do what he said he did. He's going to bring those promises. They're going to come to pass, right? And do good. Do what you know is good. What you know to do that's good. Amen? That's it right there. Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. We could spend all day. I'm not kidding. We spend weeks just going over this and over this. I have been. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Oh, my Lord, I could preach. Glory to God. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Praise God. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. What this is talking about is, you know, wherever you're at, see, everybody when they get into a situation, their first instinct is to run. It's to get out. I got to leave town. I got to do that. No, you just dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Try trusting God for a change. What that means is your natural, your flesh always told you to run. It always told you to go. It always told you to get out of there. You need to sit back. You need to relax. Hallelujah. And trust God. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on the word. Feed on the things that he said he was. See, this is the thing. As you feed on his faithfulness, what happens in you is something starts changing. Your mindset starts changing. Your thoughts start changing. You start going a different direction. Praise the Lord. And then once those things start changing, you start feeling a little bit differently about things. You don't feel so worthless anymore, and you don't feel so unable anymore because you understand that it isn't about you anyways. It's about God. It's about his faithfulness. It's about what he could do. It wasn't about your ability. Your ability never got you there anyways, and if it did, you wouldn't be here. I said if it did, you wouldn't be here. You'd be somewhere else doing something else, but it wouldn't because it didn't, and it won't. Hallelujah. Look at this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. People, I mean, I don't know why we do it. You know, as pastors, we go through this all the time. We get something, and we think, as Christians, we do it, but as pastors especially, because there's a certain stigma about things. You know, and you get something, and then you feel bad for having something. He says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Are we going to bind God? No, God, I don't want that. I know that's a desire of my heart. I know it's something I really want, and you want to give it to me. But I'm just going to believe that it's too good for me, or I shouldn't have that. Praise the Lord. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Here we give that word again. Trust also him in him. And he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. I'm going to stop right there. Do not fret. Don't worry about it. Kick back, relax. Listen, this does not mean be a lazy Christian, don't ever do anything. That's not what it's saying, but it's saying when you're worried, when you get all mixed up about what you're going to do or how it's going to get done, that's when one of the best things that I've learned is to take a nap. I got me a hammock, hallelujah. I haven't put it up yet this year, but I just know that I have it, so I don't necessarily even need to put it up yet. I just, because I know I have it and I can anytime I want. And you know, I string it up under these really, really nice trees in my backyard. And I go out there, and sometimes I just lay. When it's time to relax, when it's time to just get away, when I'm trying to put together a sermon and it's just not coming together, I'll go back and lay on that hammock. And you know what comes to me? Every single time I have trouble putting together a sermon, you know what I do? I lay down and take a nap. And every single time, within about 10 minutes, I'm woke up and I've got the answer. I got what I got to preach right there. Praise the Lord. Why? Because he gives his beloved sleep. He wants us to rest. He wants us to be in that place of not the constant mental breakdown and anguish of what are we going to do and how are we going to do that? That's his deal, not yours. Your deal is to be led. Your job is to just follow the Spirit. Your job is to go to church, just trust God and do good. To do the things that you know are good. You know, they're going to church. Yes, you've got to probably go to work too, unless you're independently wealthy. And then you can share it with somebody else and help them not have to work either. Amen? And if you need somebody to help share it with, if you're independently wealthy, I'll give you my address after the service. We can talk about things and praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have you ever thought about Mayville? It's a beautiful area to live in. Hallelujah. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Praise God, hallelujah. It's so good. God is so good to us. You know, as a pastor, we are constantly faced with the thought the devil wants to give us that we're not able to. We're not good enough. You know, I even have a confession here to make tonight. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this or not. I'm going to make a confession. I'm going to make it to my wife, and I'm going to come down here. And this is going to be, I know this is pretty serious. I'm going to have to borrow one of these because I know what's coming. Praise the Lord. I'm not perfect. Thank you. I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. But you know something? We're getting it done. I'm not just talking about her and I. You're not perfect, but we're getting it done. And see, the thing is if we constantly are going to get hung up into the things that don't matter, if we're going to constantly get caught up in what we can't do or our inabilities or what our personality doesn't allow us, hallelujah. My personality doesn't allow me to pastor. It just doesn't. Sometimes I say things I'm not supposed to say. Praise the Lord. She's always a little bit on pins and needles sometimes when I preach because sometimes I just say things I shouldn't say. Sometimes I'm on pins and needles a little bit because I say things I shouldn't say. And then what you said, that's why we don't have to do live stream, because we can fix things that aren't live streamed, amen? Hallelujah. We can edit out, you know what I mean? The funny thing is you think I'm joking. Everybody's laughing like that. I said, no, that's serious. That's why we don't have cameras in my church, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, plus God hasn't told me to do that. I mean, if he opens the door, then I would, but see, it's the same thing. I say the same thing. I go to God, the same thing. I am well aware of my imperfections and my worthlessness as a human, but I go to God all the time, and I'm just like, you're the one that made me a pastor. You moved spirit, you moved in a vision. He gave Pastor Michael a vision, and then he moved on, and Pastor Michael talked to Pastor Tim, and Pastor Tim was sensitive, and he said, no, I don't want to do that, and he did it anyways because God moved on him. See, God, you made me a pastor. I didn't sign up for this. I was happy being the lawn maintenance guy. I was happy just fixing things once in a while. I was happy just doing whatever I had to do and, you know, drooling and all that stuff. I was happy being where I was. I didn't need to be anything else. You made me a pastor. And you also made this mouth. Hallelujah. Now, I know I got to watch it once in a while. But you understand. You know, we just got, and I'm not just saying, oh, just do you and stuff. I hate that garbage too. You know, I hate that whole, because that's the whole other side of this. You know, I didn't want to preach a flowery good message, because at the same time, you don't want Christians walking out going, well, now this is just an excuse for me to go out and live any way I want, and I'm just gonna do even less than I did before. No, we should be running at it with everything we have. We should be giving this church, we should be giving our pastors everything that we have. Hallelujah. We gave everything we had, and even when we didn't think we had it, we still gave it. That's the way every person in church should be. And if you're not, shame on you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the way it should be. Give God everything you have, because when you do that, that's what is going to push us into the things that we want to get into, the real blessing of the Lord. Okay, well, I'm going to close here. Praise God. Matthew 7:17. Matthew 7:17. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm privileged to still, and I do it purposely. I stay in contact with my pastor often. I mentor with him still. You know, I still submit to him. You never get to the place, in case you didn't know, you never get to the place where you're not submitted to somebody. You know, because sometimes the devil, you know, will work on me too. Sometimes the devil will try to get me into that place of not being feeling like I can't or whatever. And you know, it's real easy. I'm telling you, it's real easy to slip over into that area. But the things that are here, I was sharing some things with Pastor Tim. And the things that were here are some things that he shared with me. And this really blessed me. And, of course, we know these scriptures, but in the context of what he used, and I'll share it with you. But in verse 17 through 20, it says, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Pastor Tim says to me, you know, sometimes when the Spirit's moving and there's things that come on you and you want to be right, and then you hear other things that other spiritual, really spiritual people say, and you're like, oh man, you're like, just like, I don't measure up, and how do they know that? And, you know, when you're leading people, it's like, you know, can I lead people to pray? I mean, this will help us even just in, if you're talking to somebody, a coworker or whatever, you're like, can I really lead somebody down that path? I'm not even sure I can do any of that. The Bible says that a good tree bears good fruit. If the tree is good, the fruit is also going to be good. So we have to trust God enough that because we know, you know if you're wrong. And so if you're not wrong, if you're doing the best you can with a few mistakes here or there, just believe that the tree is going to produce some good fruit. And the things that come out of you can really help someone else. Because God will lead you to people. And see, this is what the world needs. And this is what I kind of want to close with, is this understanding. The world has had enough of Christians who live miserable. The world has had enough of Christians who live defeated. The world has had enough of Christians who live in sin, and consumed with sin, and never able to get out. The world has had enough of this stuff. What the world needs now is love. No, I'm just kidding. What the world needs now are Christians that are bearing some good fruit. What the world needs is Christians who will believe the word. Well, believe it enough to say, you know what, even though I'm not perfect, I can still do this. We need to be people that are moving forward into the things of God, because we're choosing to move forward into them, and not because we're waiting to be perfect, or we're waiting for things to be perfected, or we're waiting for someone else to do it. We have to be the ones to do it. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope you were helped tonight. Praise the Lord. I think I got out everything that I was to say, so praise the Lord for it. Believe God for the fruit of it. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you, Lord, because you have done so many wonderful things. Lord, that it's not by our hands that things get done, but it's by your ability working in us. Thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for it. You're so worthy. Lord, I come before you humbly, because I know, God, that there's nothing good in my life that would be there without you. And Lord, that if there's anything good that happens, it's because of you and because of what you've done. And that's why, Lord, I give you everything that I have. And even right now, I consecrate myself before you. In front of these people, I consecrate myself before you. Though it's not always easy on my flesh to go do what I'm called to do, Lord, that I'll do it. I'll follow your plan. I'll live in the plan that you have for me. And I'll pursue it with everything that's in me. And I believe, Lord, that there's people here that would say the same thing. And so, Father, we come to you and we just praise you for your goodness and your love. We praise you for your word and your direction. And we praise you, Lord, for the things that we now know that we can do. Hallelujah. And Father, you're just so good. You're so worthy. You're so wonderful. In Jesus' name. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Please, nobody looking around. I know Pastor gives this opportunity. I believe he does that on every Wednesday night. But I give this opportunity every time I minister to. The most important thing you can do, the first step to living in the blessed plan of God is to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, you need to. Of course, it's a guaranteed entrance into heaven. But you know, there's some more behind it just on the surface. And the Bible says, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It will happen. That is the entrance. That's the doorway into all the blessings of God. And so if that's you, if you've never received Jesus tonight, or received Jesus before, and you'd like to tonight, again, it doesn't mean you're joining this church. It doesn't mean that you're coming to a new religion. It just means that you're going to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, if you never have and you'd like to, let's go ahead and lift your hand real quick. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't think I see any hands. Oh, Father, we thank you. I thank you. I don't see any hands. But, Lord, if for some reason there's somebody by the sound of my voice, or there's somebody that hears this recording, or somebody that's watching out there on the internet, Lord, and they're not saved, I pray that they don't leave this earth until they get saved. And we pray for laborers in their path. Lord, we will be those laborers if you call us to. We praise you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for, I'm going to get there. Hallelujah. We're not going to let you go without giving, because it's important. And you're not giving to me, you're giving to the church. Glory to God. It's important to keep the work funded, to keep the work going. Hallelujah. And so why don't you go ahead and stand up. Praise the Lord. If you got envelopes there, you probably know how to do it. And if you don't, ask your neighbor, they do. If they don't know, ask the person in front of you. If they don't know, well, you just put the money in the bucket. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you have your offering, brothers, you can go ahead and come forward. We're gonna receive a real good offering. Praise the Lord. We'll pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We thank you that as we give, it comes back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Lord, we say all the needs of Family Church are met in Jesus' name. All the needs of Pastor Tim and Pastor Katie are met in Jesus' name. And all the needs and desires of the people, that they're met in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Brothers, you can serve the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. He's good, good, good. I'm so thankful for what God has done. I'm so glad that he's doing it in you too. Praise the Lord. If you don't think he is, just believe me, he is. If he can use a guy like me, he can use a guy or girl like you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that there's not, he just used it. Amen. God loves us. He's so thankful. I'm thankful for you. It's so good to see you all out here. Praise the Lord. We love you. Let's just praise him here before we go. Father, we praise you. You're so good. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your son. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're dismissed.